Welcome to the July 22nd sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Lovell Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 4, verses 22 through 31, and the sermon is entitled, Old Ishmael and New Isaac, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
We are going to take another step forward in our walk through this challenging little letter that Paul wrote to the church of Galatia. And I do remind you that while it is the letter to the Galatians, that is not simply one congregation, but rather the churches in an entire province of land called Galatia, which today is the country of Turkey. And as we look at this letter that was circulated amongst these Christians, I want us to all get on the same page. I know some of us are brand new here today, or you haven't been here for a little bit. As we've walked through this letter, it's a very challenging study. I was telling someone this week that I have preached through Genesis and Exodus and Daniel and Revelation amongst many other books of the Bible. This has been one of the most challenging studies of every study that I have ever done. And so this has been a great, great study for me as I've come before the Lord and asked His direction. Today is a very challenging day as we understand the Word of God. My guess is today you have never heard a sermon on this passage. I can tell you this, I have never heard a sermon on this passage. It's my first venture into this passage. I've read it many times, but I've never preached on it, and I've never heard it preached on before. But as we pull together on all of us on the same page here, why did Paul write this letter to the Galatians in the first place? Well, it's because he had founded these churches. He loved these Christians. He had called them to Jesus Christ as that pioneer missionary who traveled through the province of Galatia, and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He saw people saved, and then he took those pockets of Christians and he established churches as he traveled through Galatia. However, after he was passed through Galatia and he was on forward in his preaching ministry, the churches got in trouble. He was not on the field in this moment, but false teachers had crept into the churches. They were called Judaizers, and they were teaching these brand new Christians and brand new churches lies. They were getting these churches way off track, and Paul writes this letter to pull them back to the truth and back to Jesus, who loves them and who had called them to life. The Judaizers were teaching this, and this was a lie. But the Judaizers were teaching, in order for you as the church and for Christians to experience the forgiveness and the freedom of Jesus Christ, you must go back to the Old Testament law, and you need to live the rules and the regulations and the sacrifices of the Old Testament law in order to love Christ. Once you live the law, once you go backward into the law and live the law, for example, men, you must be circumcised in observance of the law. Once you get all of that corrected, then you might come and live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. That's a lie. And Paul says to these Christians in Galatia, if anyone comes to you and preaches anything other than the freedom of Jesus Christ, which comes by the grace of God and by belief of every individual, if anyone preaches anything different than that, let them be accursed. In our vernacular, let them go to hell. So Paul is straightening the church back out from this false teaching. He's opposing this teaching, and he says, no, once Jesus moves into your heart and into your life, you don't go backward into your old way of living. You don't go backward into the law and back into bondage, but rather you are free to live in Jesus Christ and walk in His footsteps day by day. That's Paul's point. All people need the freedom from the guilt and the oppression of sin. And that comes only by knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For goodness sakes, once you come to Him, don't go backward. Don't go back into bondage, but walk forward in His freedom. Forgiveness takes the shackles off of us. Don't go back to the shackles. Don't go back to oppression. So today we're going to study in Galatians chapter 4. I want you to take your Bible, turn with me there in your New Testament. Galatians chapter 4. Now let me set the stage here a bit as we open to that passage of Scripture. We're going to study a great picture of the Old Testament that Paul applies to the New Testament church. Now stay with me. Again, this is a very involved course that we have here, so you got to hang on with me. Paul is going to take an Old Testament picture and relate it to the New Testament church in Galatians 4. Before I read this passage from Galatians 4, let me just tell you what this is about. In Genesis, we read about Abraham and Sarah. God called them, and of course, they are the ground level of the Israelite people. God called Abraham and Sarah to follow him, and they did so without question. They were people of faith. They were a couple of faith, and they followed God. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God promises this couple a huge family. And of course, we know now that this is the family through which Jesus Christ will come to the world. So God promises to Abraham and Sarah that they will have children and they will establish a family and that they will grow to be huge in number and they will be a blessing to all of the earth. We understand that now because they gave us Jesus. However, there's one roadblock to this promise. Sarah is childless. Sarah is barren. And God tells Abraham and Sarah, be patient, be calm, wait on me. I've made you a promise. I don't break my promises. You will be the parents of a great family. Wait on me and watch this happen. But years pass, and no baby comes. And they're getting older and older. Abraham approaching 100 years old. Sarah approaching 90 years old. Ain't no baby going to come in this phase of our life. So rather than wait on the plan of God, they develop their own plan. Now here's where they step out of God's plan into disobedience. Sarah says, look, my patience has run out. I want to propose something new. We find this in Genesis chapter 16. She says, Abraham, since you and I do not have a child and we're getting too old to have children, I'm certainly getting past the point of being able to bear a child. Here's my new plan. I want you to marry our slave woman, Hagar. You marry her, Abraham, and have a child for us by her. Since I'm too old, you have the child by Hagar, the slave woman. Now, in that day, this was a legal and accepted practice. That people did that sort of thing. Marry someone else, have a child by them to continue the family. But listen, this was not God's will. God had promised Abraham and Sarah a child, but they simply could not wait in faith for God to fulfill His promise. So they say, let's marry a slave woman and have a child by her, through her. So Abraham steps out of faith, and he marries a slave woman named Hagar, and a son does come along, and his name was Ishmael. Now remember that name, Ishmael. However, do bear in mind, this was not God's promised son. Ishmael was not the fulfillment of God's promise to this couple. He's the son of bondage. He's the son of slavery. He's the son of a slave woman, a son of disobedience, because Abraham and Sarah stepped out of the path that God had laid for them. 14 years later, God fulfills His promise. And 100-year-old and a 90-year-old have a child. And they named him Isaac. In Hebrew, Isaac means laughter. They couldn't believe that it had happened, that God had indeed fulfilled His promise to them and given them a son, and that brought laughter and joy to their life. I do want you to remember that God fulfilled His promise to them. They were old people, but God gave them that promised son, born to the free woman, Sarah. So one child is born in bondage to a slave woman named Hagar. One child is born to a free woman named Sarah. His name is Isaac. Bear all of those facts in mind. They're all going to tie together. It's a very important point. Now, as you read through this account of life in Genesis, you will find that the free son Isaac and the son of bondage Ishmael live in the same house. But Ishmael, remember, is a teenager when Isaac is born, so he's older. And Ishmael picks on Isaac. Ishmael is cruel to Isaac. They do not get along. They don't live together well. And finally, in order to get some peace at home, Abraham has to send Hagar the slave and Ishmael the son of bondage out of his house. In order to bring peace to his house, he needs to separate Ishmael and Isaac. And the way to do that is to put Hagar and Ishmael out of the house. He continues to support his son, but he sends them away from his residence so his home will have peace in it. Ishmael and Isaac cannot live together. Okay, there's the Old Testament account. Everybody on board with me. Now, Paul takes that Old Testament account of Ishmael and Isaac, and he applies it to the church in Galatians chapter 4. I want you to hear these words. Stay with me. Galatians 4, look at verse 22, and we will read through verse 31. Hear then these words from the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. A rather involved passage of Scripture, I promise you. This is an involved study. Let me just mention this as I move on. Paul mentions here Mount Sinai and Jerusalem. Those are the two key places where the law of God, the rules of God, the sacrifices of God were given. So Jerusalem, with its Jewish population, and Mount Sinai, where the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, those are key places that represent the law of God. But then he mentions Jerusalem, which is above in verse 26. That's heaven. Jerusalem above. Remember, in Revelation, John calls it the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And the freedom of Jesus is there and will be there for all eternity. But as we study this, I want to bring it down to its simplest form as to how it speaks to us and what this account of life between Ishmael and Isaac says to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do Ishmael and Isaac represent us? That's the question today. Well, as we open the passage, as you know, Paul begins with these two sons explaining that Ishmael and Isaac represent you and me. These two boys, one of bondage, one of freedom, represents you and me. Ishmael was the firstborn slave son of Abraham. When we are born out of the mother's womb, in our first birth, just as Ishmael was Abraham's first birth, when we come from the mother's womb, we are born in bondage to sin. We're born in bondage to sin. That's a biblical word, that we're born in a lost condition. So Ishmael, the son of the slave woman, personifies the life of an unsaved person. Ishmael was the son of bondage. When we're born in bondage to sin, a slave to sin, a person outside of Jesus as Savior. Do you remember what the Bible says about the kind of man Ishmael grew up to be? In Genesis 16:12, it says that he would grow up to be a wild man, meaning that he had his own will and his own plan and his own steps, and he did not care what God thought at all. He was going to follow his plan, and he walked away from God. He was not godly. He couldn't get along with anybody. That's the description of a life in sin, a life walking away from God, a life not getting along with God, a life of lostness. Rather than follow the secure steps of Jesus, the lost person follows their own will, and that pathway will always lead to sin, and it will always lead to trouble, just as Ishmael's life did, the son of bondage. Ishmael led that life, and according to Paul, we're all born an Ishmael. Now, Isaac is Abraham's second son. Now, remember that he was born when his mother was 90 years old, far, far past the point of being able to bear a child, born when his father was 100 years old, far past the ability to bring forth a child into the world. So when Isaac was born, he was born of a free woman, and he was born as a miracle. He was born by promise of God, not the strength. He was not born through the strength of Abraham and Sarah. He was born by the promise and miracle of God. Everybody with me? He was born as a miracle. Remember in John 3:7, Jesus says to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." The second birth is miraculous in every person's life. What we saw in that baptistry today represents five miracles of life. Five who have given their heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that, my friends, is a miraculous birth from above. We're born the first time to bondage. We're born the second time to freedom. We're born the first time as an Ishmael. We're born the second time as an Isaac. See how it ties together? Makes sense? I pray it does. I prayed all week about this making sense to you. But listen, Isaac represents salvation. Isaac represents the second birth, the birth in Jesus Christ, the birth to freedom. Whenever a boy or girl or man or woman says, "Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, I am in bondage, and I want to be free, and I know the only way to be free is to come to Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, who died on the rugged cross for me and shed His blood for me that I might be forgiven. You rose from the grave on the third day that I might have life everlasting." When you are born in Him, you're born miraculously. Every second birth is a birth to forgiveness and a birth to freedom. A birth to eternal life, and every second birth is a miracle. Every single person on earth needs this miracle, needs Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Look at Galatians 4, verse 28. "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise." Now stay with me here. In Galatians 4, Paul says, "We deal with two natures in us." We have been born to the bondage of sin as an Ishmael, but then by the second birth, we are born to freedom in Isaac. But do you remember something that I told you that was a very, very important point in the Old Testament account of Ishmael and Isaac? There was a time when they lived in the same house together. Remember that? Do you remember that they could not get along? Ishmael picked on Isaac all the time. These boys did not get along. And finally, Abraham had to put the slave son, the son of bondage, the son of the bondwoman, Abraham had to put him out of his house. Abraham could not have Ishmael and Isaac living together. They did for a while, could never get along. And so Abraham, by the will of God, has to put Hagar and Ishmael out of his house to bring peace there. That's a very, very important point. Now, let's put that in the spiritual context of our study here. Here's Paul's thought in Galatians. When a person without Jesus, an Ishmael who is lost, who has this wild nature of self-will, when that person comes to Jesus as Lord and Savior and becomes an Isaac, a person of freedom, a person who belongs to Christ, when Jesus comes in, does that mean that Ishmael immediately moves out? No. No, there was a time when Ishmael and Isaac lived together and they never got along. And Paul's picture that he presents to us is when we come to Christ as Lord and Savior and we become an Isaac, Ishmael is still living in the house. And there's conflict there. The moment we're saved, listen, the old nature doesn't leave us. If it left you the moment you were saved, come talk to me after this worship service. I've got to get to know you better. You may be preaching next Sunday. We, all of us, still deal with our sin and with our old habits and with our old attitudes. When Isaac is living in the house, we still deal with Ishmael too often. Now, I can't speak for you, but I am speaking for me. This is from behind the pulpit today. Ishmael still lives in the house. And old attitudes still rise up sometimes in me. Here's what the Bible tells us by way of the Abraham story. There has to come a time when we tell Ishmael to leave the house. There has to come a moment in us when we say, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He sets the steps for me. So Ishmael, old attitudes, old lifestyles, old habits, get out of the house. Because I belong to Jesus now. And I want Ishmael out. Look at verse 29. Galatians 4:29. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Even so, it is now. That's what Paul's talking about. The old nature in battle against the new nature. Ishmael against Isaac. There has to come a time when our lives seek the peace of putting Ishmael out of the house and the old attitudes and the old habits out of the house. There comes a time when we say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to live in that old nature of sin. I belong to you. I want to 100% belong to you. I don't want to live straddling the fence with one foot in the old world and one foot in service to Christ. I want to belong to you 100%. I want my life to be yours. I want to follow you. I want to be rid of that old life. I want to be rid of those old ways. I want to be out of this bondage because Jesus has freed me. I want to live the new life of Christ, and I want to keep my eyes on you in every minute of every day, Lord. Help me, dear Jesus, get Ishmael out of my house so that I can live for you 100% of every day. Look at verses 30 and 31, Galatians 4. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, talking to the church members now, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. God wants Ishmael out of the house. It's simply stated that way. Here's what Paul is telling the Galatian church. Don't go back to living like Ishmael. That's what they were dealing with. The Judaizers had come in to drag them back into living the rules of the law and the regulations and the sacrifices. And Paul is saying, don't go back to that old nature. Don't go back to that law because Jesus has freed you. And when you're free, you will freely live God's commandment. It's not a set of rules now. It's following the footsteps of Christ that allows you to live the Word of God. Don't go backward into this old life of bondage. Don't go back to slavery to sin. Walk forward in Christ. Walk forward as free people and forgiven people and people who follow the Savior. Believers, our goal and our purpose every day is to move forward in being like Jesus. Living like Him. Living with His mindset. Living with His attitudes. Living with His eyes to see the need. Living with His ears to hear people. Every day, it's to be more of Him and less of me. More of Isaac and less of Ishmael, if you want to put it that way. I want to decrease so Jesus can increase, to quote John the Baptist in John 3:30. I want to be more and more like my Savior with every passing day and less of me with every passing day. I want Ishmael out of the house. That's what the Scripture is saying. And sometimes it's really hard to keep Ishmael out of my house. I want to live for Christ. I want to think like Christ. I want to act like Christ. But too often, the old human Ishmael, Mike Fitzgerald, raises up. And I need to ask God's help. Truthfully, I think we all do. There's a great verse of Scripture. I love this verse in Job chapter 5, verse 7. It says this: "Yet man is born into trouble, and the sparks fly upward." What does that verse mean? Well, when you and I know Christ as Savior, I believe that He is constantly filing off the rough edges of life. He's constantly shaping us to be like Him, knocking off the edges of Ishmael so we're an Isaac, so we follow Him in freedom. But as He refines me and purifies me, the sparks fly all the time. I feel sparky a lot. Thank you. But today, can we believers simply fall at the feet of Jesus and say, "Lord, help me be like You. Help me think like You. Help me act like You. Help me be the son or the daughter of freedom. I don't want to be in bondage to sin and old attitudes and old habits. I want Ishmael out of my house. And I want to be like You." If you accepted Him today, God will begin the process of making you like Jesus with every passing day. If you have known this Savior for 75 years, He's still in that process. He's still in the process of refining you and purifying you to be like His Son, Jesus. My prayer begins at the back of this pulpit: "Lord, make us like Your Son. Give us the mind and the heart and the actions and the words of Jesus. I want to be more like You and a whole less like me every day." That's my prayer beginning here. And I desire it to be your prayer as well. That we be the church that Jesus has placed in the world to take the gospel where it's needed. And today, if you are here and you've been convicted and say, "Lord, I've still got a lot of Ishmael in my life. In fact, Ishmael is totally my life because I'm in bondage to sin. I've never come to Jesus as my Savior." Today, I promise you, you need that Savior, and you can be born in freedom in a second birth if you will simply say, "Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I am unclean, and I believe that You died on the cross to cleanse me and forgive me and save me, and I believe You rose from the grave to give me the promise that that will be for all eternity, and I will have eternal life with You. Lord, I've lived as an Ishmael for a long time. Today, I'm ready to be an Isaac. I'm ready to be born a second time, a miraculous time to belong to You." If you've never received Him, truly, this moment, He's waiting here with open arms for you to come. Whatever the need, however He touches you, He's waiting for us to live like Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father, our God, thank you for allowing me, Father, to preach on what I consider to be a very difficult passage. I pray, Lord, it's not the mind of Mike Fitzgerald at all, but I pray that the words of Jesus have been spoken today. Father, thank you for taking that Old Testament true account of two boys born to Abraham and Sarah and helping us understand that we need to leave a life of bondage and live a life of freedom. I pray every person here, before we leave, will be born miraculously of Jesus Christ and that we will have the desire to grow to be like Him more and more and more with every passing day. Bless us in that commitment. For that one who needs Christ, Lord, you're waiting with open arms. You have moved heaven and earth through the cross and the empty grave to promise eternal life and forgiveness. May that one come today. Bless us, church, home, whatever the need. Bless us in this moment in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.